So I hope my connection is okay today. I'm just recording from show in Englewood. I think we're in good shape. And we have some members from your, there's I gave a share in the shul, and some of the people in the shul are your, are regulars on the class. I had no idea. And so they're,
we have a worldwide audience, you know, everywhere you go, Torah Mission's all over.
They're with me now, they're listening in person with us.
Okay, good, good.
Okay. All right. So today is, we're still our topic of seven, but our topic today, this week and next week, will relate to Hanukkah. And let me share my screen real fast. Share my screen. And Matan, no, indeed. I'll find the share in a minute. Matan, get too many things open. Give me a second. Shemitah class seven. There we go. Shemitah class seven. There we are. And I have to share my screen. Okay. Give me a second and we'll get moving. Share screen. And meet your class seven. Okay. We're on. Close this up and we're good. Oh, here's our intro. Okay. At the end of last week's share, we noted that the unit, what's called the Mishkan unit, Tibui of the Mishkan, in chapters 25 to 31, we said seven Dibor, Scott speaks seven times between chapters 25 and 31. And the last Dibor, just by chance, was in regard to keeping Shabbat. We're going to go back to that unit today, continue our study, and try to understand in that unit, there's two items that have the number seven very central, 7 days of Miluim, and the seven branch candelabra. And we'll try to understand why specifically these two things need seven. And then we're going to see how these topics again are. The topic of the Mishkan in Sefer Shmot is going to merge again in Sefer Vayikra and Bamidbar. And that'll take us to the Torah reading for Hanukkah, which is Sefer Bamidbar, about what's called Chanukat HaNisim. And we'll see how Chanukat HaNisim relates to the 7 days of Miluim. And basically, why Chazal picked that for Kriyat HaTorah. So one last word of review. Remember the last Dibor in the unit of the Mishkan after so 6-7 chapters of the Mishkan, and God speaking six times. Seventh Dibur was Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Vata Debra Ben Yisrael, Chachapai Tishmoru, Keep My Shabbat, Ki Oti Beni Ubenechem, Ledorotechem, Ledat Kenei Hashem Akadishchem. So this, all that we did last week, we saw the phrase of an Oti, and Beni Uben, and a Brit between Elohim, and an eternal Brit, Brit Olam, remember, Beni Uben Yisrael Oti Lo Olam, in the continuation of that parsha. So our point was, it's, we went from the rainbow covenant, where God decides never to bring destruction again, and hence the need for a covenant with the people. We're going to be God's model nation, Brit Milah. And once we become a nation at Har Sinai, the nation enters the Brit, be that nation with God. And a weekly reminder of our national commitment to be God's people will be Shabbat. And the idea behind it, just like Mishkan is going to be a physical reminder of the events of Har Sinai and our commitment to be God's people in the realm of space, Shabbat will be a weekly reminder in the realm of time. And in the realm of people, that's the idea that we're God's, we're separated to be God's people. Shabbat separated, remind us of that. And the Mikdash, or the Shul later, separated to be the place where we meet to remember our goals and our value. Now, remember, that was the key idea. Now, I want to share with you something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And I have to share now a regular Chumash. I'll talk, as I share my screen, we'll get to it. If you have a Chumash open at home, it's much better. If you have a Bekorin, but I'll use a regular Tanakh here. And here we are. Sefer Shmot. Okay. Look in Sefer Shmot. Let me move the screen up here. Remember when we did the 7 days of creation, we talked about a pattern of every day begins with Vayomer Elohim Yi'or Vayi'or. Remember it was command, execution, evaluation. I hope everyone remembers that. Every day had command, execution, evaluation. Chazal point out there's 10 mamarot. Remember who Amar V'yeh, etc. I want to show you, I want to begin to show you parallel between, I want to show you the parallel between creation, the Mishkan, simply from the structure how it's presented in Chumash. Take a look at this. So again, review. Every day of creation, command, execution, evaluation. Let's take a look at the unit we saw last week. I'm sharing my screen. I hope you see it. We're in Sefer Shmot, I'm in Sefer Bereishit. Sefer Shemot, we're going to start with chapter 25. And we did this quickly at the end of last week's share. In chapter 24, in the end of Parshat Mishpatim, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. Let's just read the last line. Umerek kvod Hashem ki shochel et rosh har le'nei b'nei Yisrael. Ve'evo Moshe betoch ha'anan, v'ya lahar. And Moshe is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And that leads to Parshat Truma and the unit of the Mishkan. Why did Moshe go up the mountain? It says why? It says Moshe come up the mountain, alei alei hara, be there. Ve'nalecha luchot ha'even, v'atorah v'amitzvah shekadachti lelotam. Luchot ha'even, or luchot ha'brit, the symbol of the covenant, and the instruction manual, Torah and the mitzvah, which God's writing to teach them. Hence the word Torah. Now, we had Perachafei. I want you to notice what happens in Perachafei. Let's move this up and take a look. We have to do a Gersama for a second. We talked about there's one big dibur. By Dabar Hashem and Moshe Lemor, we pointed out that last week, that speaks here, quotation mark. Don't close the quotation mark until the end of Parshat Tetzaveh. 5 chapters later. All chapters 25 till the beginning of chapter 30. There's one dibur, which is the commandment to build the Mishkan. This is the introduction. Daber b'nei Yisrael, you know, first collect money. Sechet, which is famous. Asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. That's the command. Remember, hu amar b'yei? What's the command? God's commanding, build for me a Mishkan, and I'll dwell with him. But we have to remember in creation, God says, let there be something, and it happens. God tells us to do something. We'll see how it's going to happen. Now, although the word v'asu, first parshia, asu ron. Notice the plural with the aron, because that's the whole nation. The aron is our brief. Afterwards, the other vessels, vasita shochan, followed by vasita menorah. We'll return to that later on. Although the verb, each section begins with doing something. Chapter 26, there's the main kelim, the indoor kelim. The Aron, the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Shulchan and Menorah, and the Kodesh. Of course, the Mizbech Torah is missing and it doesn't come to the end. In Perach Havav, what do we find? At the Mishkan Ta'aseh, a more passive, but you make the Mishkan, that's the tent that's going to house them. And it's going to house Kelim, the indoor Kelim. And Vasita Tekrashim, you're going to make the Krashim, the Mishkan, etc. And then Vasita Porochet, got it? See the verb Vasita every single time? And that takes us to the end of chapter 26. And we have the tent with the partitions going to support. And the tent is going to hold, going to house the inner kelim out of gold. In chapter 27, Vasita, see again the phrase again, Vasita, Mizbach, Zeishitim, Vasita Chatzera Mishkan. We mentioned, I just want to point out, you'll see why I'm pointing it out over again. And Vatat Saber bringing the, why the notice here. This is a bit of a glitch, the pattern. Everything's vasita, vasita, vasita. And now, for some reason, almost out of position, commandment to light the menorah, to bring pure olive oil. The light menorah, that's a special commandment. Am Yisrael, because God says, command Am Yisrael, bring him, Shemen Zayit Lalot Ner Tamid. Where do we light the candle? The oil moed, outside the parochet, which is overlooking the Eidut. That's where Aaron sets it up. Notice what's happening. The oil has a special command. This command should have been in chapter 25 with the menorah. If this command was written with the menorah, it makes perfect sense, because I needed lalot ner tamid. If you go back to chapter 25, just to make sure it's crystal clear. In chapter 25, what do we do with the menorah? It's the last section. We see the menorah zaftar, how we build it. What's it say we do with it? See the neroteh shiva. Light candles and it shines around the, inside the Kodesh. So if I had here Shemen HaMishcha, beginning of Parshat Tetzaveh, which is two chapters later, it would make sense. For some reason, we save it for the end of chapter 27. Which is the end of the entire structure, indoors and outdoors. Why? Because after I built the whole, the inner kelim structure, the outer kelim, the chatzer of the Mishkan, the apparatus is done. I didn't get to the priests themselves yet. The Kohanim will be chapter 28. At the end of chapter 7, leading to chapter 28, we conclude the whole construction of the physical Mishkan with a special commandment to bring pure olive oil, lot ner tamid. Notice how the ner tamid is going to link all the sections together. We light the ner tamid in the oil moed inside the tent, outside the parochet. I mean, the Kodesh, not the Kodesh Kodeshim. Where is that located? The menorah is located, the Kodesh, outside the Kodeshim, but the parochet, which is on the Edut, which is the Aron with the Luchot HaBrit, and you do it from, later, from evening to morning, in front of God. For the Mishkan outside the Mishkan, it's going to bring Shemen Zayit, it's going to light the menorah, which is placed facing the parochet, which behind it is the Aron. But again, this is the concluding section of structure and the vessels. Now that we have the physical structure and the vessels, now we're going to go to the people who are going to do the work, and those are the Kohanim. And therefore, Perach Havchet, or the Big Day Kuna, begins with, bring you, Hakrev Yalecha, Aron Achicha. People bring the oil. Now you have to bring your brother and his family. And what's the commandment? Vasit, the Big Day Kodesh, Aron Achicha. You have to make the begadim. And you get the people to work with you. Then these are the begadim you do. And follow again. First one, the list. Like the first, the vessel was the Aron. Now the first, the Bigdei Kuna, the first, the garments of the coin. Vasu, plural, etayfod. And Vasita, the singular Vasita Mishpetzet. Vasita Choshen, got it? The next one is Vasita Me'il, Vasita Tzitz. Again, everything, what you have, a commandment, what you have to do. And then finally, in Perach Haftet, which will be our topic soon, after we have the structure, the physical structure, and we have the people, we have what's called the Guf and the Neshama, we have the physical structure, the vessels, and it's outside, and the people are going to work in it. Now we have to connect them together. Here's what we have to do to the Kohanim so they can work in the structure, work in the thing. We have a special korban, and this whole thing's going to be, look at the end of it. We bring a special korban every day. What do we do? There's a whole procedure. We kill the animals. We sprinkle the blood. There's a whole procedure we do every day. Shivat yamin maleyadam. This inaugural procedure is going to take 7 days. In this inaugural procedure, 7 days, every day, you bring a parchatat for atonement. And we sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech. And then in the final line, Shivat Yamim Tchapar La Mizbech. Now we did the Kohanim need Kapara for 7 days. Mizbech needs Kapara for 7 days. Again, the end of chapter 28. And then that sanctifies them, Mikidash Totam, and the Mizbech will be Kodesh Kodeshim. I'm going to give Mizbech. Complicated for now, but that's going to be the final commandment. That's going to be the final commandment. Now, what do we have here? Now we have Zed Davar Asher Taseh Mizbeach. Then we have the Korban of two kfasim. I'm going to return to these two soon, but that's the grand finale. Now we have everything. Now here's the Korban that we bring, the Korban Tamid in the morning and evening. Followed by a summary pasuk at the end. La Tamid L'Dorotechem, Petachah O'Moed. Then God's going to meet us there, but Noadit Nishama L'Divnei Yisrael. We're going to spend a lot of time in these Pesukim in a minute. And these are summary, and the final summary is, remember Vasudinita for Shachanti? End of chapter 29, Shachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael, Vayiti Lehem Nazrim. I'll show you in a chart these things together. But you see, Vasudinita for Shachanti, whole thing, and then V'Shachanti. When it's all over, and V'yadu, then you'll know through this structure, and the people working in it, and the Korbanot, Ani Hashem Aleichem, Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, sounds like the first of the Ten Commandments. What was the purpose of Yitzat Mitzrayim? Not just to get you out of Egypt, but to l'shochni b'tocham. God wants a nation to dwell with, to represent him. And therefore, ani Hashem Elokechem, I'm Hashem, your boss. The first commandment, remember Brit Milah, l'chal Elohim. Now we have a physical structure that reminds us of our connection to God. Now that that's over, I've summarized it, we have the Mizbach Torah. It's a strange way, it's out of place. We'll deal with that later on. That was the first dibur. And then we have the second dibur, the machzik shekel, the third dibur, the kior, fourth dibur, there's going to be the shemen ha-mishcha, the fifth dibur will be the ktoret itself, the sixth making betzalel, and the seventh. Now, before I forget all this, remember vasita, everything, commandment? That's the commandment. Let's look at the execution. In creation, remember who Amar Vayayi, Vayomer Elohim, Yor Vahior, that says and it's done. Here God tells us to do something, and the commandment was, to do that. Therefore, what happens in chapter 35, we'll skip the story of Chet HaEgel in the meantime. What happens in chapter 35? Moshe gathers the people together and tells them, Hilad Verme Asher Tziva Hashem, listen carefully. Moshe gathers the nation together, tells them, Hilad Verme Asher Tziva Hashem La'astol Totam. Here's what we have to do. Parenthetically, we work for 6 days, seventh day we rest. But Moshe goes back and says now, Moshe called up and he saw them more. Ze hadavar, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. We get all the materials and the donations that we need. And once we have everything, list of all the 39 things, Mishkan, everything together. And now watch what happens. Okay. We call Bezalel to get the work done. And then in chapter 36, watch how every section begins now. In chapter 36, you can take a wild guess. Yes, Bezalel, that makes everything. Followed by, Vayasu ochacham lev. Vayas yiriyot. You follow? Vayas et hakrashim. Remember command execution? Creation, God commanded, and it happened. Now God commands, and we do the work. The idea? I know it's long and lengthy. I just want to point out that when you look at the overall structure of the commandment to build the Mishkan, the actual construction of Ayakal Bukude, which is super lengthy in Chumash, I think it's parallel to creation where the beginning, when God creates, that says something should happen and it happens. And now we become a partner with God in creation. And God says, do something and we do it. Before God said something should be done and it gets done through nature. Now God tells us to do something and we do it. Who Amar? But yeah, it's going to happen and we're going to do it. And again, that's the most general. But remember, everything that God created, he said, do something and it happened. And it's evaluated. Look what happens at the end of the Mishkan unit in chapter 37. We're going to be making all the kelim. Vayas betzalel et aron chitim. Vayas et hashochan. Just pointing out the structure again. Vayas et amnora. Vayas et amizbeach. It should be simple. And now look at chapter 38. It's going to be the bigdei kuna. I'm saying mizbach ha'ola. Chapter 38. Kior. Vayas et hachatzer. You can highlight each time the word vayas at the beginning of each section. And then we do a counting of everything that's connected because we have accountability. And then in chapter 39, we're going to put it all together. We have the big day kuna, bayaset eifod, bayaset abnei ha-shoam, bayaset ha-choshen, chapter 39. And now let's get to the end. Bayaset tabi'il, bayaset ktonet shesh, and everything to do is commanded. Do the tzitz. That should be the last one. And finally, pasuk lamed bet. We just finished all the construction. Where's this? Who can tell me where this is from? Let me see if anyone's listening. Where's that coming from? Vayechal.
Vayechal Elohim et yom hashvi.
Right? Asu b'nei Yisroel chukha shir tziva Hashem et Moshe. Kein asu. Remember, vasita vasu? It's like creation. God commands and it happens. God commands and now we do it. We become a partner with God in creation. And now they bring the Mishkan to Moshe. It's all put together. A list of everything again. And guess what happens when it all comes together? This is the icing on the cake, I think. They bring the Bidei Kuna. Just a summary of everything we have to form. Chol Asher Ibam. I'm sorry. Pasek Membet. Let me make it a little bit bigger so it's easier to see. Chol Asher, Pasuk Mem Bet. Bring everything to be the Kodesh, everything, summary of everything we made. Chol Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe, in Asu B'nei Yisrael, Kol Avodah. Got it? Everything, Chol Asher Tziva, God commanded, B'nei Yisrael do. Remember? Command, execution. Valuation. Vayar Moshe et Kol HaMelacha Asher Asah, Asher Asher Ahine B'nei Asher Tziva et Moshe, Vayvarech Otam Moshe. Moshe sees the construction. How do they do it? Exactly as God commanded. And what does Moshe do? Blesses it. What did God do at the end of creation? Vayvarech Hashem et Yom HaShviv, remember, Vayikadesh Oto. We have a bracha, followed by Kiddush. Now, let's go to chapter, I think there was a, was there another evaluation beforehand? I skipped something. Let me just check something at the end of chapter 38 real fast, but if not, we'll go to chapter 40. Real quick. And Chatzer. And oh, I'm missing. So it's chapter 40 I'm looking for. In chapter 40, they bring everything to Moshe, and Moshe now, God tells him it's time to put it all together. Okay. We dedicated on the first day of the, now pay attention to the state. It's going to come up. It's going to explain the landing for Hanukkah. Okay. And by Dabra Hashem Moshe Lemor, Yom Chodesh HaRishon V'Achal L'Chodesh Takim Et Mishkan O HaMoed. On the first day of the first month, year since Parshat HaChodesh, we ready to leave Egypt. That's the anniversary of the beginning of our first command of Parshat HaChodesh, and we're going to build the Mishkan, put it together on that day, and you bring all the things together. And finally, what do we do? You bring everything to Moshe, and it says as follows. Okay? He asked Moshe, what's Moshe do? They do exactly as commanded. Followed by we go through step by step everything. Notice everything is kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. In Perek Mem, every parsha ends with the same phrase kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. We're highlighting God commands and we do. Now look at the end. After everything's put together, and how we end, Echa Moshe Tamalcha, another Vaichulu. Now we're going to get the theme of creation back to Revelation. Now that we've done as God commanded, and just like God created, He wants us to perceive His creation, His existence through nature, through His creation. Now that we have the Mishkan, what's going to happen? Echasanan, Omoed. Same verses we have at Har Sinai. We'll go back to where the whole unit began, a Parsha Mishpatim. The Anan covers Olamoy. Kod Hashem is full of the Mishkan. Moshe can't go in. We'll deal with this later on. And then I just wanted to go back to these two lines. Echas Anan et Olamoy Kod Hashem Aleta Mishkan. This is a proof that the Mishkan reflects Har Sinai. It's right before the unit began in chapter 24, when Moshe goes up for the first 40 days, when we began this year. What does it say? In verse 15, Pasuk Tetvav, Vayah Moshe el ahar, Echas hanan et ahar, Mishkon kvod Hashem ahar Sinai, Bachasem nan sheshit yamin. Hanan covers Har Sinai, and kvod Hashem on Har Sinai, it was covered for 6 days, and listen carefully now. Remember, see the parallel? Whatever happened on Har Sinai happens in the Mishkan, and Hanan and kvod Hashem are on the Mishkan now is in Har Sinai. Back in Har Sinai, what happened? I'm sorry. So all the Dibor of the Mishkan, 6 days of preparation, and God calls Moshe on the seventh day, and then Umar Kvod Hashem Kishrochel Brosh Ahar, and then Moshe goes into the Anan, and God gives him the commandment for the Mishkan. So again, we have the 6 and 7. You can't miss all the parallels to creation. That was a technical side. And I think just, even though it's really lengthy and technical, I simply wanted to point out, everyone knows that Trumat Tetzaveh is repeated in Raka Bukude, and it's really lengthy and technical. And we ask ourselves, why, you know, why drive the Bar Mitzvah boy crazy when that's this, why repeat everything so many times? Maybe behind the repetition might be one of the biggest themes of Chumash, where it goes back to creation and the story of creation, where God says something and it happens. So that's how God created. And now as a Jewish people, we become partners with God in creation. And we give our big example where God gives us a command and we follow. At the technical level, we're doing it to build a Mishkan. In our day-to-day life, that's how we bring the Shekhinah. What does God do? God commands us laws of Torah and we follow. It's called being an Eved Hashem. So it's a very lengthy description of the Mishkan, but I think the Mishkan is going to be a physical model of what Jewish life is about. And in day-to-day Jewish life, God gives commands and we follow. That's how we become partners in creation. Now, God gives commands and we follow, but we have to evaluate what we're doing and make sure to do it right. And we explain that's why we have Shabbat, the day off, to evaluate, making sure that our 6 days of work are constructive. Remember, in the Ten Commandments, my claim is that Shesh Shanim Tavod is as important to mitzvah as Yom HaShvi'i Tishbot. To keep Shabbat, you have to work 6 days a week, make it meaningful. And to make sure that when you work 6 days a week, you're working as a partner with God, you need the seventh day to take a break, evaluate to make sure that what you're doing is in sync with what God's commanding. Now, how does that bring us to Hanukkah? So let me go back now to this unit and stop this share and go back to a chart. Look what happens. I want to point out now why the menorah, in my opinion, is the most important vessel in the Mishkan. To do that, I have to show you share my screen again and go to an outline. If I have a very short outline here with the Mishkan section, let me move this over so I can see my screen. Okay, look at this. Look at this outline. Remember, we went from chapters 25 to 31. But what's the introduction? Donating the materials, remember? And then Vasu the Mikdash for Shachanti, that begins the unit. We pointed that out before. Now what happens? We have a whole unit. The very end of the unit is Shachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. See how they match? This was before and this was after. Vasu the Mikdash for Shachanti and Shachanti B'toch B'nei Yisrael. That's what's called a, let me get a little, see if I can get that thing up. What happened to my, oh, here's my Kelly, my annotator. If I get the drawing line, if I go from here to here, see that? Vasu de Meshachanti, Vasu, and then he'd build it and then works. Meshachanti, B'nei Yisrael, and be their God. Remember when we did this, I think last week already, I showed you the progression of covenant from the flood story, from the Rainbow Covenant, Brit Milah, to Brit Sinai. I asked you, what was the Brit Milah? And the Brit was not circumcision. Circumcision was the old Brit. The Brit was Be'olachad Elohim. Hope you remember that. Kimotit Briti B'ni U'B'necha and B'n Aruch Achrecha Be'olachad Elohim L'zach Achrecha. Be'olachad Elohim, he's our God, we're his people. It's the Brit of Brit Milah. Notice, now that I have the Shekhinah, can remind us of Beit Lehem Elohim. I'm just showing you, not only does the Mishkan remind us of our Sinai, reminds us of Brit Sinai, which began at the seed level in Brit Milah. This idea of Lachel Elohim, I told you, is key. Now, what do we have in between? In this unit, what was the first Dibur? First Dibur was all the Kelim of the Mishkan. Remember, all Trumat Tzaveh. What's this section? What to build? First, the center, the epicenter, is going to be the symbol of our covenant, the Aron and the Kaporet. The Aron and Kaporet, we'll talk about the relationship between them. The Aron is a box that houses the Luchot HaBrit. Kaporet is the cover, but on the Kaporet we have Kruvim, and God speaks from the Kruvim, meaning it's not enough just to have a covenant and a set book of laws. From the Kaporet, God is going to speak and continue commanding laws to the Jewish people. So it'll be a live Torah. It won't be stagnant, just given once and that's it. God can continue to communicate with his people between the two Kruvim. We'll see those Sukkim as we go on. But the epicenter of the Mishkan is going to be the Aron and the Kaporet. Then that's in the Kodesh Kodeshim. The Kodesh, we have Shulchan and Menorah. The Shulchan, we only do Avodah once a week. Menorah, we do Avodah every day, correct? So the daily Avodah in the Kodesh Remember, there's no avodah in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Something get wrong. The only time we have avodah there is on Yom Kippur. That's a special Yom Kippur korban. But otherwise, we don't go in there. On a daily basis, we enter the Kodesh. The Kodesh is the Shulchan and Menorah. We'll get to this Bachtor later on. That's an add-on. But the Shulchan, it's bread changed once a week. We'll see this in Parshat Amor. The Menorah is dealt with every single day. The reason why the coin enters every day into the Kodesh is to light the Menorah. And what do we find there? The Menorah with the seven branch candelabra with light. Now remember, light enables us to see. To evaluate something, you have to be able to see. But the idea of the Menorah giving light be important in understanding the deeper meaning of Torah as well. We'll come back to it in a second. Remember, these are the two kelim in the Mikdash, the Shulchan, the Menorah. Now I need a structure to house them. It has to be portable because we're moving through the desert. Later in the temple to be permanent, it's the Ohel Moed. Therefore, I have a tent with a divider between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Parochet, and the Chatzer that surrounds the Mishkan. But that's chapter 26, which is more technical. And out of nowhere, remember, we put the oil for the menorah at the end of this unit. Then we have Big Day Kohuna. And then the 7-day inauguration ceremony that makes the Kohanim Kohanim. And then we have the summary psukim. We have Olat Tameh that we bring every day on the Mizbeach. Just like there is a daily avodah, a daily service done in the Kodesh on the menorah, there's a daily avodah done on the Mizbeach called the Korban Tameh. The Kohanim to the avodah inside, and the people and the Korban Tamid, which is not by the Pachsita Shekel, but all the people donate. It's done on the Mizbeach on the outside, but that's going to be meat. That's the Mizbeach is going to represent our day-to-day life in the sense that what do people do? They eat meat. We're farmers. We're shepherds. So we take our animals. We raise and then we cut and we eat. But we're going to check them as well in the Mikdash symbolically. We're going to burn them. Instead of our eating them, God eats them. That's Shola. We're also farmers. So we take also bread or flour called solet. We offer that. And we take processed wine, processed grapes, and we pour that. So all the things that we do on the Mizbeach reflect the idea of Tzelem Elokim. Remember we talked about before on when we did how God creates man in his image. And all the things that we don't do on Shabbat, when we stop creativity, are all things that remind us of how we're different than animals. We mentioned one of the main differences between humans and animals is the, is my screen shared, I hope? Yeah, my screen. Is the main difference between humans and animals is humans have clothing, animals don't. So clothing is a big thing in the Mishkan, the Big Day Kona. Animals kill other animals and eat them, but they don't cook them first. We cook our animals. That's the Shkitah. Animals don't process wheat, just hunter gathers. We grow wheat, process, we harvest it, winnow it, grind it, and then finally make bread, unique to humans. Humans, only humans, squeeze grapes to make wine. So we take the wine, and we take the bread, and we take the meat. Pretty much remember our Shabbos meal. What do we have? On Shabbos, we have make kiddush on wine, we make a motzi on lechem, we have a fleshik meal usually, and we light candles first, and that's going to be, the lighting candles on Shabbat will reflect menorah. And again, lighting candles is something only humans do. Animals don't make light at night. They sleep at night. We have industry and we can make light at night. And that idea of giving light at night to be able to see through darkness will be, again, one of the symbols of menorah. You'll see later, related to Hanukkah. Now, I want to show you that this unit closes something. Why? At this point in the end of chapter 29, I have the Olat Tamid. Look how the vessels are connected. The Olat Tamid is on the outdoor Mizbeach, Olat Tamid Odorotechem, Etach O Moed, that's at the entrance to the O Moed, Asher Ibaidach HaShama. That's where God is going to meet us. Remember, O Moed is a meeting between God and man, between God and Am Yisrael. So the Olat Tamid, Am Yisrael brings with the Machzit HaShekel, everyone dissipates, but there's a korban tamid brought by the people of Israel. It's one animal, one korban, but it's a joint venture. Everyone gives a machzit shekel for. We bring it to the entrance to the Ol Moed, in front of God, where he meets us. So the olat tamid is in the chatzer, outdoors. Ohel Moed is indoors, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodeshim is Ashrim Vedach Hashama, the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now, Noadet Yishamel Divnei Yisrael, V'nitash Bichudi. God is going to meet the Jewish people. How does God meet? We represented by the Mizbech HaChitzon, the outside Mizbech. God is represented in the Kodesh Kodeshim by the Aaron. God gave us the Luchot HaBrit. He's indoors. We're outdoors. In between is the Kodesh. That's the link between God and his people. On Har Sinai, what do we have? We had the Anan. We'll get to the Anan in a minute, but there'll be a buffer between God and man, but that's going to come soon. In the meantime, we're meeting God. The area that sort of represents the meeting between God and man, God is in the Kodesh Kodeshim alone. We are in the Chaser HaChitzonah with the Korban Tamid. In the Kodesh, with the Shulchan Menorah, that's where we meet God. What are the Shulchan Menorah? The Shulchan is our Gashmiut, our food, and the Menorah is our wisdom and our light and our ability to see God. And basically, we'll see how it's represented by Torah study. So now that I have the Aron, the center, now I need to sanctify each section for Bekidashit Omoed. That's the tent of meeting indoors. Mizbech is Mizbech HaChitzon in the Chatzer. Then Aron Abanav HaKadosh HaChayim Li, Aron the sons. Now, that's a perfect summary of each section, isn't it? Omoed is the section over here. The Shulchan Menorah and the Omoed. Everything from here, from the Aron to the Chatzer. The next one is Aron Abanav HaKadosh HaChayim Li. At the Mizbech, I'm sorry, the Mizbech, I skipped something, my mistake. Let me erase that real fast. Let me erase that and make it bigger so it's easier to see. Bigger, okay. If I make it bigger, you won't see everything. I want to show you how these things are a summary pasuk again. What's the Ohel Moed? What's the Ohel Moed? Ohel Moed is the Aron, the Shulchan Menorah, and the tent around it. Section, oh, I'm sorry, let me draw that again. Here. This whole section, not good. I pass and drag on my computer. Right. Vessels of the Kodesh, the Shulchan, Menorah, and the Ohel Moed, surrounded by the Ohel Moed. It's the first section. That's the Ohel Moed, that's this one. You have different colors. I'll try this now. Wait, go here. The Aron and Kaporet, that was this pasuk. The Petach, the Noati Shem of Bnei Yisrael, Kesh Baruch Hu, that's where God meets us on the Kaporet. That's this one. Now, another color now. Let's try orange. What's the Mizbeach? Mizbeach is the Chatzer. The Chatzer, which has the Mizbeach. Section over here is the Chatzer. That goes to this. What about that? And we need another color for Aron and Mizbeach. Let's try pink. But Aron Abanav HaKadosh HaChayim Li, that's going to be Bigdei Kona. That's not a good color. We need red. Here we go. Aron Abanav HaKadosh HaChayim Li, that's going to be the Bigdei Kona and the 7-day inaugural ceremony. And when it's all done, when it's all done, then v'shachanti, and that closes up back to the beginning, v'asudim mikdash v'shachanti. I want to point out there's a whole beautiful unit here. And at the end of the unit, the 70s of Miluim, which will be the transition to, where once the 70s of not ceremony is over, then the Mishkan is functional, and we'll see you later on the 8th day, we can start working on it. And then what's the purpose? The purpose of the symbolism is v'yadu k'ani Hashem aleichem. And I took you out of Egypt, the Chokhni B'tocham, which is the most beautiful summary of the purpose of the Mishkan and the purpose of why we need all the symbolism. But that was the command, and then we have the execution. For some reason, and we'll see for a very good reason, after this whole unit is over, and only afterwards, I have the Mizbech Torah. We have a clear closed unit, and when it's done, let's go back to last line here. We'll go back to our Chumash and we get to the Mizbech Torah. That's in chapter 30. to show you again, chapter, end of chapter 29 in a real Chumash. Is what we just read. Remember? That's the end of chapter 29. In chapter 30, we're still in the first Dibur. And what do we have? Mizbach Miktav Torah. And watch carefully. After that, after the Mizbach Torah, we have another Dibur. It's the second Dibur, which is the Machzit HaShekel, which I think is parallel to day two. What I want to claim is the first Dibur is day one, because that's light. Remember we saw the sixth Dibur is Shabbat, seven. Sixth Dibur was appointing Betzalel, that's making man. Those work best. The first Dibur, which is the longest one, is building the Mishkan. But I'm saying the idea of the menorah being at the center of the Mishkan and the key cleat in the Mishkan is the idea of giving light. I think the menorah represents the light from creation. But light, again, is the ability to perceive God, not physical light like from the sun, but our ability to perceive God. The second Dibur is Machzit HaShekel, which reminds me of Rekiah, which is dividing between the Mayim El and Mayim Mitachat. Maybe there's something there that relates to day two. Day three is a lot easier. On day three, God says, Yikavu HaMayim, let the water gather and let the land be up. And here is what? It's a Mikveh Mayim. Remember Mikveh? So it could be that Kiora reminds us of the water gathering together to allow the land to come up. Again, I told you, day one matches nicely, and day six and seven. The other ones, to fetch a little bit. Fetch a lot. Now, I want to go back now to the end of this unit. Why is it Mizbach Torah at the end? I'm going to switch to an English-Hebrew Tanakh, because these became more important. My claim is, the main avodah we do in the Mikdash is lighting the menorah. The purpose of Mizbach Torah is for the sake of the menorah. It's not that we have to bring Torah every day and light the menorah every day. The main avodah we do indoors is lighting the menorah. It's the main thing we do. But now I need permission to enter. Let me explain an idea and then I'll share my screen. Let me share my screen. Where are we? Not sharing my screen, am I? Am I sharing my screen? I don't think so. That's not good.
Yes.
I am sharing my screen?
But with the Perek Lamed.
Yeah, but why don't I see? I can't unshare my. Oh, I'm missing something on my computer. Here we go. Oh, I made my screen too big. Bum, bum, bum. So I'm looking for the point where I can unshare my screen. I'll figure it out in a minute. Maybe I'll do it this way. Give me an English Hebrew Chumash. Here, I'll pick up this one. No. I did something to my screen. I'll try to figure out. I can't find the button to unshare my screen.
Is it under something else?
Yeah, it's not coming up. Maybe new share. Enter. No, that's something else. I'll continue. I just use the same screen. I wanted to switch to English Hebrew, but I don't have it anymore.
It's okay.
Come up somewhere. Alrighty. Let's go back to, at least you see my screen. You see my screen in the meantime. Let me explain an idea. And then I'll show you inside. Yom Kippur uses this as an analogy to clarify. On Yom Kippur, we know that the Kohen has to bring a special korban. The question is going to be on Yom Kippur, which we'll see later is going to be the Yom HaShmini, after the 7 days of Miluim. Is the goal of Yom Kippur to bring the korban, or is the goal of Yom Kippur to enter the Mishkan? You don't know the difference? It's the main job of Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is simply entering the Mishkan, which is the highlight. But in order to enter, we need protection. Therefore, is the korban enabling the entry or the purpose of the entry? You know what's called a chakira? Do I enter the mikdash to bring a korban? Do I bring a korban to enter the mikdash? What I want to claim is the word kapara relates to protection. Remember, going back to the flood story, set everything off? Remember the teva, what did it do? Chaparta lavi baitim mitzvah kofer? Protected cover. Protected the teva. From the destruction was called kapara. what protects you from God's Shekhinah is called kapara. The word kapara, which I can show you, is protection from the Shekhinah. The best proof is because what's protecting the Aron from man? It's going to be the kaporet.
Kaporet.
Okay. And the parochet has, what's the proof? Because on the parochet are what? Going to be kruvim. Now the kaporet will be kruvim. Kruvim are defined in Gan Eden. What do kruvim do? They guard Gan Eden from entry for people unworthy. Once man is not worthy to be in Gan Eden, what does God do? God puts up, remember, kruvim, nishmor derech etz ha'chaim. To return to etz ha'chaim, you have to get in, you have to be worthy. But if there's a guard, kruvim are guards, that thing, that doesn't put up a wall, he puts guards, and that's selective entry. And only someone worthy can enter. So seeing kruvim is reminding you of the theme of Gan Eden, that man, when he sins, is disconnected from God. But if he wants to return to that ideal environment of being serve God and work for him, he has to get past the kruvim who are guards. So if I find kruvim in the Mishkan, they're defined by the Gan Eden story. Now, because man is human and he sins, he doesn't deserve to enter. What should happen to an unworthy human entering? What happened in Har Sinai? If someone went too close to Har Sinai, he was killed. That was it. Midat Adin. In theory, we do something wrong, we should be punished right away, midat hadin, like before the flood, or the first luchot. That's it. Second luchot, what happens? We have midat harachamim. And therefore, on the one hand, we want to be close to God. Listen to the dialectic. On the one hand, we want to be close to God. On the other hand, you can't get too close, because we don't deserve to be so close to God. So I want to show God I want to be close to him before I enter. Symbolically, Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh Kodeshim represents Am Yisrael wanting to be God's people. We want to show God that we want to enter, but we don't deserve to enter. Therefore, I need protection because of my frailty. And that's going to be kapara. Therefore, in order to enable entry, we have to show God we need his forgiveness to be able to enter. Because we're human. We make mistakes. We can learn from our mistakes, but midat hadin, we don't deserve to come in. Midat rachamim, we can't go in. So the kapara rituals are going to be to remind us we need protection to meet the Shekhinah. And then the word kapara will mean, remember, kfor, for us, covering the land, is called kfor because it's a protective cover. This last week's parsha, Yaakov sends presents, layach ha-prapanav. Esav wants to kill him, he thinks, I need to protect myself from Esav's anger. Layach ha-prapanav, lamincha olecha lefanai. The word kapara is going to relate to some type of a protective cover. Now, therefore, in order to enter the Mikdash, I need kapara. Now, listen carefully. I guess I have to do it now in the Hebrew, and I don't know how to get rid of the... I'm working on my lap. I'm not sure how it's going to go. Listen. Perek Mem, which ends that first unit, that says, Make him Yismach Mikdash Torah, and we have its sizes. Its size was the first five sukim. Where do we place the parochet? I'm sorry, where do we place the kaporet? I mean, the Mikdash Torah. Incense altar. Natato to bifnea porochet. Asher alron edu bifnea kaporet. Asher alron edu. Asher bed hashama. I'm placing it in front of the Kodesh Kodeshim, in front of the Aron, Abri, inside. This can be on the axis that connects Mizbech on the outside and the Kodesh Kodeshim on the inside. Meaning, the buffer between God and the people is going to be the Mizbech Torah. And just like when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh Kodeshim, he needs smoke screen. He needs ananan, doesn't he? Kibanan erel kaporet. Just like in Har Sinai, what protected Am Yisrael from Har Sinai? Remember the anan in Har Sinai? V'chas anan ta'ar. L'chvar Hashem melet mishkan. Because God's anan, I need an anan, a buffer between God and the people. People stand at the foot of the mountain. The people are in the chatzer of the mishkan, with the korban ola, and mizbech ha-chitzon. God is on top of the mountain in the Kodesh Kodeshim where Moshe is. The Kohanim are on the mountain. There's a Mizbech at the foot of the mountain. The Kohanim go a little bit farther in. The Kohanim, their job is to teach the Torah. And therefore, the buffer that's going to protect Am Yisrael from the Shekhinah will be the Anan Ktoret, Mizbech Ktoret. But the Kohanim have to receive the Torah, to refine it and teach it to the people represented by the menorah. Now, ideally, the Kohen should go and light the menorah and teach Torah. We see lighting the menorah will represent the Kohen should teach Torah. Every kiner mitzvah the Torah or. The Kohen doesn't deserve to enter because we're human. We make mistakes. What do we need to do? We need a parat to enter. And therefore, what do? We put the parochet, you know, between, in front of the Aron. Alav Aron k'toret samim baboker baboker. When does Aaron bring k'toret? Before he cleans up the menorah in the morning, when he comes in the morning. In order to enter, to work on the menorah, he has to bring k'toret. When we light the menorah, it didn't say light the menorah to bring Torah. It says you light the menorah. We said that before. You bring the Shemen Zayit, but light the menorah. Now it's saying, why do I need Mizbach Torah? I need Mizbach Torah in order to enter. Therefore, why do I bring Torah every day? Bring Torah in order to light the menorah. I'm pointing that out because the main Avodah is lighting the menorah. Torah is in order to enter, light the menorah. And it's right here in the Pesukim. When he lights the menorah in the morning, he brings the Torah. Bringing Torah in order to light the menorah. He says you can't bring the wrong type of Torah. And here's the proof. In fact, his Bach Torah is Kapara. It's the linkage between this and Yom Kippur. Because what gets the Avodah on Yom Kippur? The Mizbach HaKtoret. Bidam Chatat HaKippurim, Chat Vashana, Yechaper Ador Tchim, Kodesh Koshim Ul Hashem. I highlight the idea of Kapara, which again is God's Midot of Rachamim, especially in Yom Kippur. We need Kapara in order to enter the meet God. But on the one hand, we want to be close to God. On the other hand, we need Kapara. And therefore, the coin symbolically has to light the menorah every day. In order to light the menorah, it needs the Mizbach HaKtoret. And that's why the Torah unit is at the end of the Shekhinah unit is over, and now we go back to the Torah. Hope that was clear. Remember, we finished the Shekhinah unit in Perach Haftet. From Perach Hafei to Haftet was the Shekhinah. Now that the Shekhinah is there, I need protection from the Shekhinah. It's like in Har Sinai, God comes on Har Sinai, and then it's closed by Anan, and then Moshe can go in, and the people have to be at the foot of the mountain. The Anan is going to be the buffer and protects us from the Shekhinah. Oh, my time is up. Let me stop here. And next week, sure, I have to show you. I'll give the introduction now, and I'll show you what happens. Sefer Bamidbar, we're going to find something. I'm sorry. Sefer Vayikra, we're going to have the 7 days of Miluim. We're going to have the commandment, the 7 days of Miluim, is given in Tzaveh. The execution of it is going to be in Sefer Vayikra. Next week we'll explain why. From Perachet, we have the 7 days of Miluim. In Perachet, God tells Aaron to do the 7 days of Miluim. And look at the end of Perachet, Parshat Bav, what to say at the end. Umifetach o moy lotetu shivat yamim, yom lotimim lechem, ki shivat yamim yomelete dechem. Again, the 7 days of Miluim is everything ready. And Kasher Asab Yom Tzek Katziv Hashem Latzot L'Chaper Alechem. We need the 7 days. It's the type of kaprah to begin the process. And they can't leave Petach HaMoed for 7 days. Yamam V'Layla. Yishmartem Et Mir Hashem Lo Yomotu Kikhein Tzuveti. By the way, Chazal learned about sitting in the Sukkah for 7 days. This pasuk as well, because the Sukkah is the type of Shekhinah. And of course, Aaron does everything that God commanded. Now, that was in... execution, Sefer Vayikra. After the 7 days of Miluim were over, we get to the eighth day. On the eighth day, what happens? Okay, next week, on Yom HaShmini, we bring, this will explain the eighth day of Hanukkah, we bring a special Korban, and God's Shekhinah is going to return. Quickly, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Adavar Asher Tziva Hashem Asu, Ve'elchem Kod Hashem. Here's what you have to do for God's not to return. And we bring the special Korban. In that Korban, what do we have? We have the Shekhinah coming, but what happens first? Aaron finishes bringing the Korban. And then by Saronet Yadav Alam by Barchem, we have Birkat Konim. And after Birkat Konim, Now that God's Shekhinah is there, Moshe and Aaron can enter. And then they leave. So they did something. Chazal said they prayed that God's Shekhinah should return. And then they blessed the people. Okay. And then, it's like again, like in Har Sinai, we have now the Mishkan. And then the Eish comes down and it's Korbanot. And then we have this terrible sin of the Nadav and Abihu. That's later. Now, where do we have the details of this Birkat Kohanim? Birkat Kohanim we don't have until, you know, it's here we know that Aaron, Birkat Kohanim. Details of Birkat Kohanim we're only going to find in Sefer Bamidbar. But notice what happens now. Sefer Bamidbar, I guess we'll have to do this next week properly. It's going to take too much time. In Sefer Bamidbar, we're going to have Torah Bamidbar. Right before the landing of Hanukkah, in fact, some people properly have the custom to start.
Menachem, where are you? Because we only see Shemot.
Okay, so that's my screen. Okay, my time's up. I'll do this next week. I'm over time anyhow. It's too complicated anyhow. What I want to show you today was the main idea. Mishkan is a reflection of creation, typically in the sense that God commands and we do. God made man b'tzelem Elokim, creation. What's God doing? We commanded. We thought that structure. And when you look at, you see the same structure. If God commands us to build a Mishkan, it's a symbol. God doesn't need a place to dwell. We need representation, reminder of our connection to God. And in our day-to-day life, what are we doing? We are Avdei Hashem. We serve God. God says, and we do. That's how we become a partner with God in creation. The Torah will be our day-to-day guide. We come to the Mishkan to remember the purpose of the Torah. We have a symbolic structure, right? It reminds us of our connection to God. But that symbolic structure called the Mishkan, it's a commandment to build it. And how we build it, which is tremendous detail in Chumash, reflects the story of creation. Where God says, done, evaluated, and brings blessing, and then finally it's sanctified. And by keeping Shabbat, and by coming to the shul, to the Mikdash, that's how we remember those things, so that we work 6 days a week, and our 6 days of work in the mundane things, in our mundane day-to-day life, being shepherds and farmers and whatever else developed over history of civilization, we can serve God by remember, our job is Lavdol Shemot, to be, serve God, watch his creation, and make sure it goes in the right direction. But that's what I want to share with you today. I'll take questions now. I don't see the chat. I don't know what happened to my screen today, but I don't know what I can't see the chat or anything.
You want me to take a look at the chat for you?
There's just ask me the question.
Actually. Yeah. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah. Okay. Please be writing translate the Hebrew. Okay. That's a little late.
I can't see the. Wait, now I'm finding something here. So now I got the screen share.
Yeah, in the 7 day period that Moshe had to wait before ascending part of the 40 days, i.e., was he up there with the Shem for only 33 days?
That's a machloket, whether the 7 days are the 6 days, the first of Sivan to the sixth of Sivan, the 7 days Matan Torah, or when he goes up for 40 days, first 7 days is he's waiting and he has another 33 up there. Machloket Parshanim. I think the 6 days is the 6 days that build up to it, followed by 14. Because what's my proof? Remember the flood? And we did those prayers with flood in Har Sinai. Remember? In the beginning of Parag Zion. In 7 days' time, it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. That's the perfect parallel to the flood story. The flood story. What was that? Now I'm seeing eight. What's this?
That's all I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I understand you have a shiur at Princeton at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I have spots on campus.
You have a student there?
Yeah, Atara's there. Atara and Noah.
Okay, good. That's how you find out.
Yeah. That's she told me. And Rav Moshe is also giving a shiur there this afternoon.
Yeah, that's why.
This is the Gush Shabbaton in New York this weekend, I guess. So it's nice. They travel to all the university campuses and give shiurim. So I assume you've also, you're going at least to Princeton. But I don't know where else.
Ten at night. And on Thursday, we were at Harvard and Brandeis.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. See you next week. We'll be back in Israel.
Next week, I'm back at home in normal. I apologize that I'm in not my normal setting.
Okay, and next week I should be on Hanukkah.
Sachkar, no matter what, you have to review it. You have to look at it and appreciate it. I just want to show you. Tekab Kudei and Trumet Sabra is so boring, but so detailed. I'm trying to give a reason why Chumash sometimes uses tremendous detail for things that seems to be like there's a very important message behind all that detail. Chumash is wordy, but doesn't waste word.
Yeah. All right.
Menachem, can you give what is this website that you're using? This Hebrew, the Bible text.
It's so nice.
Yeah. What is the website for this?
I think it's from Hebrew U somewhere. I forget who's not sure whose it is.
Because it's really good.
I still don't have. There's nowhere online where you have a Tzmach Koran. If there's nothing where you can do all the chapters together. I think of. You don't see. Sometimes you want to see all the chapters. I don't want to start a new chapter every time. The computer programs are programmed by chapter verse. You follow?
Yeah.
And that's how they're rich. You can't make it Tzmach Koran online. There is no one. I discussed it with the guys from Safaria, from the Herzlag site. No, all the databases that do it are all built. All the data is built chapter verse.
Chapter verse.
So you can't get a regular Koran site where you have where the Pesukim are just noted on the side. You have to have the text like it is in the Sefer Torah.
Right. So is this thing you have over here, kodesh.snunit.k?
That's from Nate, yeah.
Is that it?
The thing up there, you can copy it up there. S-N-U-N-I-T, something like that.
Oh, N-I-T, then. Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, you have to close the meeting. I can't figure out how to close anything. So.
All right. Tomorrow we've got a triple header. Rabbi Dr. Taylor Guhart's continuous series on translation. Tomorrow, she's like, how to pick a translation. Okay, that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., Rav Amnon Bazaki Tain Shir Bivrit, Al Nes, Pachashem and Nesha Bizman Eliyahu, Elisha and Hanukkah and the Maccabim. So that tomorrow, I'm just going to put the registration there if you haven't registered yet. That's 1 p.m. tomorrow, the Ivrit. Rav Amnon Bazak, who spoke, he's given a couple of shirim before. I'm sure those who've heard him have enjoyed very much. So that's tomorrow, 1 p.m. Then at 8:30 p.m., of course, Mark Shapiro continues his series on Shaul Lieberman. We're getting towards the end. Just a few more weeks left on that. It's much more than Shaul Lieberman. It's the whole history of American and conservative and Orthodox and JTS and the seminary and Shaul Lieberman and his relationship with the Gdolim, all kinds of fascinating stuff. That's tomorrow night at 8:30. And then all our regular shiurim this week. Parsha shiur this week is Rabbi Yossi Adler from Teaneck. Rav Aaron Adler, his brother, will be giving, of course, his second part of the shiur on Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. And then at so that's Thursday night. Yossi Adler just retired as the senior rabbi of Rinat and Teaneck. And then my shiur this week, as I mentioned, my sitter shiur is changing to 9 a.m. You won't see me as much this week on the classes. I may be booking in and out, but my schedule, I'm teaching every day now for the next 9 weeks, not including, Christmas break. We get off like 2 weeks for Christmas and New Year's, but for the next 9 weeks, I'm teaching every day between 10:45 and 1 at chat. So the classes then, I'm not obviously going to be teaching students, young kids. You got to teach them too, the adults, whatever, you'll manage on your own. So I'll be around less at the time. Okay, Nunu, what can I do? That's just how my schedule work and everybody's schedules work. But I do hope to see you a little bit here and there. And towards the end of Rav Bazak Shir, I should be there towards most of it. But anyway, who cares? You're not coming there to see me come to the shiuring. And on Fridays, because of early Friday, so I have to be in chat at 10:25. So I'm switching my sitter shiur from 9 to 10, as opposed from 9:30 to 10:30. So please God that those who come. And I do apologize for those in Israel. It's still a little too early, whatever, too late, I guess, for those in Israel. But okay. All right. I'm talking enough, but there are too much, and we look forward to seeing you. Please invite your friends. That never goes away. Whether I'm here or not, you got to invite your friends to come, one friend to come, try out this year, and everybody have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. We should hear good news, b'sorot tovot, and all good things, and we look forward to learning with you, and everybody be well. Thank you very much.